We speak with one of the members of the newly named Settlement Services Advisory Council, formerly the Refugee Resettlement Advisory Council, Ms. Carmen Garcia. Good morning, Carmen.
Good morning, Annalyn. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. We'll go straight to our questions. Early this year, the Commonwealth Government has reaffirmed its commitment to settlement services by announcing the members of the newly named Settlement Services Advisory Council, which you are part of. But what does the government's reaffirmation of its commitment to settlement services mean?
Well, I think that the Refugee Resettlement Advisory Council, which was its former name, has been in existence for under several different governments, and it just shows a commitment to the resettlement of refugees into the broader Australian community. But what this government has done is expand that to really look at strengthening social cohesion through the successful settlement of both migrants and humanitarian entrants into the Australian community. And I think it's really looking at a particular focus to maximise social and economic participation.
Who are the members of the Settlement Services Advisory Council?
The Settlement Services Advisory Council is chaired by Paris Aristotle, and you've got representatives from community groups, from women's groups, from the humanitarian settlement services providers, and myself. I'm the only representative from the South Australian community. And I guess a lot of the knowledge or contribution I bring is not only having been a former CEO of a refugee youth-specific organisation here in South Australia called MISA, but currently a lot of the work I'm doing is around corporate engagement and working towards job opportunities and an employment pipeline that really meets the aspirations of newly arrived migrants and refugees.
Does your Filipino background has something to do, being a migrant, your mom is from the Philippines, having the migrant background yourself, is this vital for the role?
I definitely think my personal experience and my connection to the Filipino community enhances my ability to provide advice. At the end of the day, this is a committee or a council that's been selected by the government that can provide a differing views and differing opinions around the needs of the community and opportunities and ideas. So I think because of my connection to the Filipino community, I think that really adds value.
As a member of the council, do you have a specific role entailed with your position or as a member?
Yes. So as I mentioned, my particular area of expertise is around corporate engagement. So I'm chairing the corporate engagement working group, which we, you know, made some recommendations around working a lot closer with business. And through that, and separate to ESSAC, the Friendly Nations Initiative has been born, led by the former Business Council of Australia Chairman Tony Shepherd AO, who was also the Commissioner of Audit. That's now being managed by the Migration Council of Australia under the CEO, Carla Wilshire, who is working with me to engage with the corporate Australia, larger businesses, in seeing what opportunities in terms of jobs, training places, mentoring, any type of support that can assist newly arrived refugees and migrants into employment as quickly as possible to start that dialogue and partnership.
So it's a very important role.
I think so. I personally believe that work is at the core of human dignity, and it's really about introducing an employment pipeline a lot earlier into the settlement process. Although, you know, it's not to discount there are many health, mental health, safety issues that some new arrivals face on arrival, and also the importance of securing, you know, their home, enrolling children into school, are all very important. But I think it sends a strong message of Australia and Australia's commitment to welcoming migrants and refugees, that the business community, who are the employers, the ones that do create the jobs, working hand in glove with the settlement partners to say, you know, on arrival, in addressing some of these immediate issues, acquiring English, developing skill sets, all will lead towards job opportunities. If you're committed to your development and to working in partnership with us, there is a will and a welcome for refugees to have that hope and aspiration. And I think that's really, really important.
So is this one thing that the Settlement Services Advisory Council is looking into, like providing or helping countries in providing jobs for people who are hoping for the war to end and for them to go back to their country?
panel, it's really important to be clear that it's an advisory council. So as a Settlement Services Advisory Council, our role is to provide advice to government. But that doesn't mean that we can't provide advice to the business community. But all of these, I guess, pieces of the puzzle happen separately, but together it's around an agenda where the government has showed leadership recognised across international governments about committing to 12,000 places for Syrian refugees really started a momentum amongst other Western countries to increase the intake for this particular crisis.
As you mentioned, Australia is starting the intake of the 12,000 refugees in terms of resettling them in Australia. What's your knowledge on the aid that the Australian government will be giving to these 12,000 refugees?
It's no more or no less than what the Australian government commits to every humanitarian entrant that comes to Australia. So you would have seen in the mainstream media, there was a lot of goodwill from church groups to individuals to families, schools that wanted to find a way in which they can help. And that's happening at the local level in particular areas. So working with the Humanitarian Settlement Service providers or HSS providers, that's where the engagement and involvement of the broader community in supporting the Syrian refugees in particular may be happening to a different level. But from the government's perspective, they're being quite consistent in the way that they provide support to the Syrian refugees as they do with every other humanitarian entrant that comes to Australia.
Do you think how can Australia sustain accepting people or refugees for resettlement? And how can the government assure Australians that we are not accepting too much people for resettlement?
Well, I can only speak from my personal perspective on this because this is not within the remit, I guess, of the Settlement Services Advisory Council. That's really an issue for immigration around numbers. But from my perspective, I think migration is fundamentally important to the future productivity and prosperity of Australia, mainly because we do have an ageing population. We do need to look at ways in which we can have a viable workforce into the future. And migration, the humanitarian entrants and refugees actually represent such a small proportion of the migration program. Majority of the migrants actually come to Australia on skilled visas and offer skills and undertake work, particularly in regional and rural areas, that some Australians are not willing to do at the moment. So I think it's really important that we understand the role that majority of migrants and refugees play is actually an active member of the workforce. The humanitarian entrants, assuming you're referring to, that might receive Centrelink are such a small proportion. And many of them come here because they want to work and they want to create a better future for themselves and their families. And one of the things I'm really excited about this current government is they're looking at ways to move levers to ensure that the system doesn't fail them. Because they come here to work and we need to make sure that they have the right opportunities, skills and access to a pathway to find the work that they want to do, like we do for every Australian.
And this is being done through proper assessment, isn't it?
Absolutely. The federal government funds the JobActive network, which is managed by the Department of Employment, and their systems and support for looking at how, you know, whether it's foundational skill development or pre-employment training, work experience, interview skills, all of those things are quite well developed, and the employment support services sector is very good at what they do. We do know there are job shortages at the moment, but for example, in discussions with some of the regional farmers, they've got jobs. There's lots of jobs in the country.
Yeah. And not all Australians would like to go to the country and work in a farm, isn't it?
Well, that's right. That's why I think there are gaps in, well, there are vacancies in the regions. But I think the other thing that when you think about regional settlement and the importance migration plays in that is that when people come to Australia and move into regional communities, they're often with children that will fill the schools in the country areas. That means people already living in the regions don't have to travel, you know, 2 hours to take their children to school, that they can actually fill the classrooms You know, the women are so crucial to regional settlement in particular and their ability to stay in local communities. So connecting women, whether it's through the schools, through the local community centre or library, is such an important role for the entire, I guess, social cohesion for that particular area. So, you know, I'm not saying that migration isn't without its challenges, but I think there's an important conversation for Australia to have that really recognises the benefits of migration and how we can come together to collaborate to make sure that, you know, Australia is a stronger and more productive country for all of us into the future.
Yeah. For now, the Settlement Services Advisory Council is particularly focusing on the number of refugees that Australia has accepted to resettle in Australia. But what are the future plans or programs of the council?
We're currently formulating our advice, so I don't think that I'm in a position to really give you too much detail around that, because like I said, our remit is to provide advice to the government around specific settlement services, which does cover in our terms of reference areas like English language education and vocational training programs, employment pathway programs, general settlement and social development, and any programs that really do maximise the benefits of Australia's cultural diversity and promote mutual respect. So we as a council have started discussions around what the priorities might be for our work plan for this term of our appointment. And as soon as we've given that advice to government and they've provided a response, I'd be more than happy to share what those priorities might be.
And we look forward to that.
No worries.
Thank you very much, Carmen Garcia, member of the Settlement Services Advisory Council.
Thanks, Annalyn.